That group gonna call them addict.
Very grateful I recovered an addict too. I want to thank my man Fathonzo. He's the only one I told from my area that I was speaking. And I told him last night, and I was surprised to see him. He said, thanks, man. You know, and we got we get up at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings and meet like this, you know. So it's not strange for me to get up 9 o'clock and go to a meeting. I don't know about y'all, but I did it for 25 years. I got 25 years clean, you know. And this is beyond my wildest dream here, because when I got clean, you know, it wasn't a day that I woke up and say, this is the day I was going to get clean. It was a phone call I got. See, this is the miracle for me. My father called me. Now, this man was never in my life, you know. And I got to tell this, you know, he lived in walking distance. He had 6 kids. I never got no birthday cards, none of us, you know. And I could walk to his house. I had to walk to his house and get that $20 my mother used to fight for him to give us something so we can get something to eat. But I would always run into him, you know. And because he was my father, you know, I loved the guy, you know. But here's the kicker. He called me. I was on a 3-day run. I was hurting, you know. So when he said he had to get some cataracts off his eyes, and he's a veteran, I'm a veteran. So he said, I need you to take me up to VA hospital. Now, what was in my chest and what I wanted to say was, F you, man. You ain't never did nothing for me. I ain't taking you nowhere. That's what I was feeling, you know, because I was on this 3-day run and I ain't had no more money, you know. But what came out my mouth was, okay, man, I'll take you up there. And I took that man up there. And I don't know what happened, but they end up keeping me. And I've been clean ever since. And everything came out my mouth, you know. I'm going to tell you, it's strange, you know. Beyond my wildest dreams, that happened. Because this guy, this doctor kept walking past me. And I was hurting. And he said, come here, man. And he took me in the back. And he put this stuff on me. He said, man, what you been doing, man? Because I was in a chair just rocking, waiting for my father, you know. I said, man, I've been smoking crack for 3 days. And he said, man, your heart ready to stop after you put these things on my chest. He said, man, do you want some help? I'm telling you, I didn't wake up that day talking about I wanted some help. But what came out of my mouth was, okay, man, yeah. They rushed me up there on the fourth floor, and they tried to see what was going on with my heart. And then after they said I was going to make it, they asked me, did I want to? So they put me in this psych ward for 30 days, you know, because they wanted me to detox. And then after 30 days, they was going to try this other experiment program, but because I was on so much medicine, they wouldn't put me in that program. Then they put me in treatment. Here's the kicker. When I was in treatment, the first guy that came up to that meeting was the first guy when we was about 9 or 10 years old, beat me up, blacked my eye. And what happened was when he came, I bit him real good. You know, that's how he remembered me. I bit him so hard. It took like 4 or 5 people trying to pull my head off his chest. And when I finally let him go, he fainted. But when that guy came up that treatment facility, the first thing he said was, that's the MF that bit me. You know? And I ain't seen him in 20, 30 years. You know? And that guy became my sponsor. And I got him. I got in his coattail, you know, and I followed that guy. He had a few years cleaner than me. I got in his coattail, you know. Then I got me a sponsor that, you know, that was working on something, man. And that man gave me some good information, you know. Kept me in the middle of this program. The thing was, I heard some things. I stayed into service for 11 years. My first 11 years, I stayed in service. I did not get out of service because, you know, I heard that you had to get in the middle of this thing, not on the outside. That's what helped me to get to know new people, you know, because I didn't know a lot of people. You know, me and this guy became friends. You know, he invited me over his house. He used to have dances and stuff like that. You know, people start inviting you to places, you know. And I appreciate how my family treat me today, you know. Matter of fact, my sister is not in recovery, but she's down here, her and her friend doing something. And she called me. She heard I was down here. And I hooked up with her, man, you know. Just a sister that I seen cry. Because when I'd be smoking crack, she would cry because she saw her brother destroying himself, you know. But today, she real proud of me, man. I had another sister, had a bat. She said, man, don't make me hit you with this bat, you know. Because at my mother's funeral, I was begging for some money, you know. You know, I wasn't focusing on my mother's funeral, but I wanted $20 so I can run and get me a hit, man. And, you know, people ain't want to see that, man. You know, it's different today, man. See, I had a son that I supported in this lifestyle. I mean, it's really a death style because they end up shooting him in the head. You know, I was the last person who knew that he was selling drugs. And when me and my friends were sitting around trying to figure out where we were going to get one, my friend, my age, telling me, Carl, your son got the package. I said, what? He said, man, your son got the package. I said, man, I don't believe that. My son ain't selling no drugs. So he said, he is, man. So I went down into his house. I said, man, what's up? I said, man, throw me something out the window. And he threw me a package, you know. And instead of encouraging him to get out that game, I just encouraged him. I took him where he can get better deals and all that crazy stuff. And then people just got jealous of him, man. The man was about 20 years old. New car. His mother left the apartment because she couldn't control him. She went and moved out, got her own apartment, and he kept that apartment and was taking care of his sisters and brothers, and you know, that's what people do. And some people got jealous of him and set him up and shot him in the head. Now, I try to use on them feelings. Trust me, all the alcohol and drugs did not make what I was feeling go away. You know, it's different today, you know. I'm retired. I travel. These are some things way beyond. I never thought I could get out of that, off that block. You know, I go on cruises. I done been on 4 cruises. You know, I done flew with a buddy to Jamaica, laid on the beach. You know, we was trying to angle how we gonna stay longer. Can we just never go back? You know, we was having so much fun. We couldn't figure out how to stay. You know? But that's what this NA life gave me. You know? Gave me a real good life. I mean, something beyond my wildest dream is making it through that Vietnam War. You know? Without a scratch. Coming back here. You know? And this part of my story I don't talk about. But I ran up in a Safeway. You know, I thought I was a slick stick-up boy. I ran up in a Safeway and robbed them people. And when I was coming out, I had a gun up against a man's head because the Safeway had just got robbed. Police was everywhere. But I didn't look at the news or nothing. And I would have knew that the Safeway was hot. But when I was trying to come out that Safeway, police was everywhere. And they asked me to put down that gun. And I told them no. That police shot me in the chest. See, this is a miracle beyond my dreams because I standing here healthy, you know, in good shape, you know. And that bullet did what it's supposed to do. Tore a lot of things in my body up and put me on the ground. And them people arrested me. I mean, they put handcuffs on me while I'm laying there with a bullet in me, man. It would not take them off. You know, even when I was in the hospital, the nurses and stuff had to tell them, y'all got to take them handcuffs off. You know, and to get through that, and to get through crack, you know, just, I can't believe that this life that I'm living today, it's beyond my wildest dreams, man. You know, I beat myself up sometimes, man, because, you know, my mother, you know, with them six kids was doing her best, you know. And I wish I could have been a better example for my mother, you know. I wish she could have saw me clean, you know. But this program told me I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be in my life, exactly where I'm supposed to be in recovery, you know. I wouldn't trade this program for nothing. There's a lot of cliches that this program gives you. And I got one on there. Simplicity is the key. I always try to say, keep it simple. You know, that's one of my main cliches in this program, is keeping my life real simple. You know, I know. See, I had a job where I didn't have to travel for over 20 years. I lived and worked right where I lived and worked in the same place where I can walk. After about 20 years, my first job, where I had to drive, the anxiety was so much with that traffic. I didn't know people were so rude and you know, so disrespectful. So when I was doing that job before I retired, I told myself that I'm going to be polite and let at least one person in every day. And that's how I carried it. I try to be polite and let one person in front of me every morning, you know. And that kept me, my insanity, from getting, you know, crazy. I just can't understand how everybody want to go to the same place, but everybody want to be in front. You know, I couldn't understand that. You know, we all go in the same direction, but everybody want to be in front. But I keep my life real simple, you know. And I just tell people, go ahead, man. Just go ahead, you know. But this program, you know, gave me some more ammunition. And what I do is, I wake up in the morning, and I'm so thankful. I got my little routine. I drink my little coffee, you know. And I try to do a little side job every day, you know, to keep the blood circulating, you know. Because I can sit around and do nothing, you know. And what I like to do is go to a gym since I'm not working, you know, try to enjoy my retirement. Just go to the gym, keep the blood circulating. And when I try to do that, I saw this old guy. He impressed me so much. This guy would swim for 2 hours, three times a week. I would go to this gym Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And this man would be in the pool. And one day I watched him. And I was watching so long, I got tired. And I waited till they get out. I said, man, how long do you swim? And this man was at least 70 years old. He said, man, I swim for at least 2 hours every day. I mean, 3 times a week, you know. And I try to do that. I couldn't hang. I think I got up to 20 minutes, you know. But these are the things, man, you know. Why get to come in this program of recovery unless you're going to, you know, going to live the best you can live? And the best I can live is be in the best shape I can, you know. the doctors didn't put me on all these little medications. I try to follow it. You know, when they first say, look, we got to give you this pill for high cholesterol. I say, hold up, doc. Let me work on my diet. So they say, okay. Went back to him. He said, it's still high. So I say, okay, give me the pill. Went back. Your blood pressure high. I'm going to put your pill. I said, hold up, doc. Let me work on my diet. Went back. It was high. So I'm taking these pills and trying to get my blood pressure down. Try to get my cholesterol down. And I try to work on my diet, you know. Why go to the doctor if I'm not going to listen to him? I mean, they cut me off some of the things I really love. I love ice cream. I love cheese. And the first thing they said is, no more cheese, no more ice cream. I was crushed. You know, how much go to sleep at night without my big bowl of ice cream? But I don't buy it no more. You know. But that's me want to get some longevity out my life. You know. That's me doing what was suggested, because we come in here, we got to follow suggestions. Otherwise, I'm not going to go to my doctor and not going to follow his suggestions, you know. So that's what I do today, man. I listen, you know. One of the things that I don't do is I don't go around my old friends no more. You know, there's still some more people. You know, and I love these people. You know, there's still some people. Because my friends didn't get this thing, man. It hurts me. It hurts my heart, man. You know. It's a guy that came down here on my first convention. The Shelter of the Storm was my first convention. Me and this guy came down here together. This guy refused to surrender. You know, he lived with me for about 20 years. And, you know, I worked with him. The man gave me hell for over 20 years. Today, the guy got maybe about a year clean. You know. And how he got it, you know, it's not my concern. I'm just so happy to see that he's not drinking no more, you know. He's going blind, though. And the more you talk, you know, what I found out about this program is people going to get the part, going to get it when they ready to get it, you know. Did nobody try to force this thing on me. Matter of fact, I never heard it. I was in a crack house one day, and a guy used to always say, one is too many and a thousand and nothing wasn't enough. In the crack house, he used to say that. And it used to shoot right past me. And I never, and I thought it sounded all right, and it didn't mean nothing. And he would always say that. He said, man, one is too many and a thousand and nothing. I haven't seen this brother in a while. I'd like to see him. And I knew what happened. This man was in the program before. But he probably relapsed and came up in there and was trying to give up that information. You know. I remember that, man, so clearly. I remember this guy going in convulsions on the floor. And I thought he was dancing to that music. James Brown was on. This man was on the floor going through all these convulsions. I thought he was enjoying the music. We were smoking crack. And somebody said, man, something wrong with him. And we all took a turn to look at him. But none of us stopped smoking. You know. And I could swore he was dancing on the floor, just having a good time. You know, matter of fact, I couldn't get my eye off that pipe. You know, I did a lot of things, man. You know, my friends, I remember coming from Vietnam, right? And my friends say, you know, "Hey man, you want some free drugs?" I said, "What?" They said, "Man, all you gotta go is go down." It was called DC General. They said, "Man, all you gotta do is go down to DC General and tell them you got a dope habit. They'll give you some free dope." I said, "What? Free?" It's like 69, 70. I said, "Free?" They said, "Yeah." So I took their suggestion. Went down there. I said, "I got a dope habit." I ain't no dope habit. Man, they gave me a cup of meth, right? Looked at it. I said, "Okay, thanks." I'm working at the post office, you know, because when I got out of the military, they put me right in the post office. Sweet job. You know, all I was doing was sticking mail. So just so happened, I did snort some dope. And them people test my urine. So when I went back down there to get me some more free dope, them people saw that dope in my urine. Next thing you know, that much came to that much. So I say, "What?" So they said, "Yeah." And they used to make you drink it. I mean, they used to watch you drink it. So I said, "Phew, wham." Dropped that whole cup of meth. I went to that post office. Remember, I'm sitting at this thing doing like this, sticking nails. A couple hours later, I was like this, could not move. I stayed there for 8 hours, just like that. Ain't nobody bothered me until my shift was over. When my shift was over, the guy, the supervisor, tapped me and said, "Jermaine, you can go home now." You know, and them people begged me to resign after that. And I resigned. And I went home and told my mother I resigned. My mother said, "You resigned? You know, the post office was one of the highest paid jobs back then." I said, "Yeah, I resigned." She said, "Oh, so you think you're a man now, right?" I said, "Yeah." She put everything I owned in a black trash bag and threw it outside. She said, "You a man? Let me see you make it." She put me out. That's the love I got for my mother. I appreciated that today. I didn't like it then. I appreciated the day because that move made me grow up. And I had to do the same thing to my grandson. My grandson got disrespectful to his mother. And she called me, because remember, I said my son got killed. So when they called me to straighten him out, all I told her, get everything he owned and put it in the trash bag and put it outside. Trust me. And when I went to him, I said, "I see that you're homeless. I saw all this stuff." He said, "I ain't homeless." I said, "Well, where you going?" He thought I was coming there to pick him up. I said, "You're homeless. You know, I'm in recovery now, though." And so he said, "I go stay with my friends." 3 days later, he was begging his mother to come back home. And we never had a problem with that boy again. The day he got his own son, I mean his own daughter, you know. I got 3 grandkids and 2 great-grands. Man, it's such a pleasure to be living this program way. And they calling me, trust me, they call me for suggestions. Man, that sends chills through my heart, you know. They all call me daddy because they really didn't know their father because he got killed early. So they call me daddy. Got 5 minutes, y'all. So they say, "Dad, what do you think of this? We want a suggestion this." When he was trying to get his license, I say, "Dad." Yeah, I say, "Look, man, you can juggle or you can do it the right way." I say, "I suggest you do it the right way so you won't have to look back. If you juggle, you're going to have to keep looking back." The boy did it the right way. He went through the driving school, got his Maryland license, and got him a car. Man, that's big boy stuff to watch him from a little kid grow up and become a productive member of society. Same thing with got a granddaughter, went to college, got her car. I mean, to watch these kids and not really begging me, you know, I need this, I need this. I have one now. She got her own apartment, and she got a 9-year-old daughter. Every now and then, she get a little behind, and I told her, she's a single parent. I said, I'll help you best I can, you know. And I think that is my job, seeing her go to work every day, support her daughter. You know, she got a roof over her own head, and every now and then she'll fall short. I think it's only right for me to step up and give her some support. You know, I don't beat her up. I give her what she needs, and I move on. You know, if she asks me for suggestions, I give it to her. You know, I remember her going through that relationship with her daddy, baby daddy. I said, stay out of that mess. And she came to me. Well, she didn't come to me. She called me and I was doing something for her. So I just threw it up. I said, how's your relationship? And she bust out crying. And she told the whole story. It was a mess. And what I told her, I said, when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, you'll do something different. That's what y'all give me. That's what I heard in here. When I got sick and tired of being sick and tired, I did something different. And trust me, she is doing something different. She's doing some big girl stuff. You know, it's a pleasure to see so many people up 9 o'clock in the morning. You know, and my name is Colin. I'm a grateful recovery.